as we have said, a familiar story. From our mother's knees, from her Sunday school, we have heard the story of this Naaman, the man who was a leopard, and all because a little girl, a Jewish girl, in one of the raids of the Syrian army, who has gone down into the land of Syria, whether she watched her parents being murdered or what the outcome was, but she was taken captive back into Syria. I think it is worth noticing that this is a young girl who has God at heart. And in the midst of all of the tragedies and the troubles and the trials that now has afflicted her life, she has not forgotten Jehovah. She has not forgotten the God who is the God of Israel. And she testifies to that end, even to Naaman's wife. And of course the word is passed on to Naaman, that if only he could get into Israel, there's a prophet there. He's the prophet of Jehovah, and he could help. Of course you know how the story goes. The baggage is packed, and Naaman sets off for Israel. Of course, arriving first at the wrong place. Then he finds himself at the door of Elijah. And Elijah sends out his servant with a message. And again, everyone knows the message. Down the River Jordan, dip 7 times. It's a so simple message. And you'll be made clean. And then we have these words that is recorded. And it's just simply 2 words out of the text I want to take this evening. You find that it says there, "Behold, I thought he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper." But there's those 2 words that I want to put emphasis upon this evening. I thought. I thought. And oh, my dear friend, is that not the summary really of all mankind? How we think. Young people think, so if I can just get to the length that school is over and I'm left school and I can go to work, I thought everything would be rosy and easy flowing. And many young people thought, well, if I thought that if I could come to the place that I was settled down and I could get a good wife and I could get my own home, and I thought everything would be pleasant and everything would be easy running, and now again, how many has made shipwreck. I thought that if I had a good job, or I thought if my business increased right, it would give me all the pleasure and the satisfaction. I thought. And is that not the summary of mankind today? They live according to their thoughts. And then we have the great Old Testament evangelistic preacher, in the person of the prophet Isaiah, who reminded those in his days in Isaiah 55, the verses 8 and 9, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." And just for a few moments, I would like us just to think about the thoughts of Naaman and parallel them with the thoughts of ourselves today. Naaman says, "I thought." What is his thoughts? First of all, he had thoughts of himself. It says, "Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honourable." What a description is set forth here for this man. You can think of his position. For we're told that he was captain of the army of Syria. What a high and honourable post that it had been set in. We think of the power also that is described, for it says that he was a great man with his master. We think also of the character, for the Bible describes for us also there in that verse 1 that he was honourable. What characteristics is displayed of this man? And of course he also is a man of victory, for we also read there, "Because the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria." And here this man was the one that was involved in leading Syria into victory after victory. And of course there's bravery, because he was a mighty man of valour. What a description is set forth of this man. But in the close of the verse it closes, "Yet Naaman was a leper." And the pedigree that this man would have would be a description that any of us would long to have, of the bravery, of the power, of the position, of the victories, of the praise of men and women. But alas, but he only sees these high thoughts. And he certainly wants it to make it all applicable. For you can see the appearance as he makes. Because as he sets out for Israel, he makes some appearance. He wants to make some showdown. You can see the pomp that is displayed there. For as the king of Israel, he writes him a letter. And it says in the verse 5, "And the king of Syria said, Go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel. And he departed." Now watch these words. "And he took with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 pieces of gold, 10 changes of raiment." What a display is leaving the camps of Syria to head for Israel. What a showdown and what pomp this man wants to set forth. In verse 9 it says, "And Naaman came with his horses and his chariots." Here's the display. But this man also brought fear. We can see that whenever the king of Israel received the letter. You can listen to the very tremble of his voice. In verse 7 it says, "And it came to pass, when the king of Israel had read the letter, he rent his clothes, and said, Am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man doth send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore consider, I pray you, that he seeketh a quarrel against me." There is fear now in the heart of this king, and all because of the appearance of this man. And you can see him coming into Israel in all of his pride and all of his pomp. But Dr. Luke reminds us, "For whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased, but as he that humbleth himself shall be exalted." And for this man to come in, it's where he's got to know what it is to go down before he can go up. Tell me, in this meeting this evening, what is your self-thoughts? Oh, you could say, "I'm a Free Presbyterian. I come from a Free Presbyterian home. I come from a decent family. I haven't done anybody any harm." And you can give me the whole list of all the righteousness that you can have. I wonder, do you think everything's all right because you have your own description of you? He certainly had thoughts of himself. But not only had he thoughts of himself, this man had thoughts of religion. You will notice again, he says in that verse, "Behold, I thought, he will surely come out to me, and he will stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, and strike his hand over the place, and recover the lepers." Oh, he has religious thoughts here, because he sees a ceremony taking place. He thinks a service is going to take place. He will surely come out, and there's going to be a service take place. And not only is there going to be a service take place or a ceremony, I'm going to be the center of that ceremony, because he has these thoughts that in the very middle of this service, this man's going to come out and he's going to go through all the actions and all the rigmarole, and he's going to put his hands upon him, and Naaman's the very center of it all. The message of the gospel is Christ is central, not man. And you see, and within his religious thoughts, he thought that there was things that he would do and payments that he had to make. That's why he brought all of that silver and the gold and the remnant, all of these things. All this religious activity would cure him. I wonder tonight, Londonderry Free Presbyterian Church, is there anybody so foolish to think that because you go to church and you dress nicely and you carry a Bible, and you go through prayers and you go through religious activities, that that will be good enough? And you put your money in the plate, and you attend as many meetings as you can attend. Is that your thoughts? Paul, writing to the church of Hebrews, "See that you refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escaped not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven." God tonight wants to be made central. Naaman says, "I thought." You see, not only had he thoughts of himself, and not only had he religious thoughts, but those thoughts went a little further, because he also had thoughts of God. For you will notice what it says there again. He says, "I thought he will surely come out to me and stand." And you get those words. and call on the name of the Lord his God. This man had knowledge of God. You'll notice the very words that he uses. It's the Lord his God. There is Jehovah Elohim. It's speaking of the covenant God, and it's speaking of the creating God. He has knowledge concerning this God. So he has thoughts of God. And he has a knowledge of the God of all glory. He goes even further, for he believes in Israel's God. Well, if he didn't, why is he there? You see, a little maid. And I believe again, all because of the life and the conduct of this little maid. Such is the strength of her words. This man believes that there's a God in Israel who's different. He doesn't know how, he doesn't know why, but he has thoughts of this God. He believes in the God of Israel. Wonder, is that describing you? Well then, can I bring before you the words of James? In James 2 and 19, thou believest that there is one God? Thou doest well. Listen to this. The devils also believe and tremble. The devils believe that God created the earth in 6 days. The devils believe that God did but speak and the earth was formed. The devils believe that God gave commandments and the stars and the moon and all of those things sits in their places. The devils believe it. They believe in the existence of God. They believe in Christ. They believe in the cross. They believe in the bloodshedding of Calvary. They believe in the rising again of Christ. They believe in the ascended Christ up into glory. They believe that he will come again. But my dear friends, tonight you know where the devils are and why they tremble. They're in that lost, condemned estate. It's not just enough to believe that there's a God. For he had thoughts of God. He had beliefs in this God. Again, I think of those words of Paul to the church of Corinth. 1 Corinthians 2 and 14. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Oh, can I ask you this evening? It's not the ability of a preacher to make you feel bad, to so disgrace sin, to so work within the conscience of the individual that it brings you to the place of a decision. No, friend, this is a spiritual discernment. A spiritual discernment that comes by God and by God alone. And the blessed third person of the Godhead will condescend upon the individual, making them aware of their sin, showing them of their rebellion. Tell me, have you been there? Have you had those types of thoughts? And then that same Spirit will take us and show us the state that we're in, and in the midst of the agony and the great trembling, or because of we realize of the state that we're in, he shows us the cross and he brings us to Calvary. It's not a religious experience we need. It's not just beliefs that there is one God and he's the creator God, but that he is the saving God. That brings me finally to those thoughts and their thoughts of repentance. Oh, God grant that's where you get to, sinner. God grant, backslider, that's where you'll get to. Or if there's something wrong within our lives before the Lord, God grant us thoughts of repentance. Verse 13, his servants came near and spake unto him and said, my father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather then when he saith to thee, wash and be clean? Then went he down and dipped. What brought the thoughts of repentance? I think it came first of all because of words of counselling. You see, his servant says unto him, they're reasoning with him, Master, will you think again? Will you think again of the message that came? Forget of the circumstances. There's a promise right at the very end. And they come with this counsel. And what wise counsel it was. It also came after considering self. He was brought again to think about the counsel that he was given. I'm a leper. He could pull up his sleeve and he could look at those patches. He could look at the very state and the circumstances that he's in. And he knows that there is only one end for him. It's going to be separation from his family. It's going to be separation from his soldiers. It's going to be separation from his king. It's going to be separation from everything that he loves. And very soon it's going to be separation from life. Tonight, is it not time for a little self-examination? Considering the counsel that God has given us in his word. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? He was thinking in those words as he's riding on in his rebellion. You can feel they're just pondering over in his mind. Wash and be clean. Wash and be clean. So simple. After listening to the counsel and after the self-examination, he very simply acts upon the counsel that he's got. Verse 14, then went he down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan according to the saying of the man of God. He followed God's word. Just as what he said, it was so simple. Just go down to Jordan and dip 7 times. And notice what it says. And his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child. There's a new birth, friend. He was born again. Totally cleansed. Oh, it does not say that his skin returned to its former state. No. His skin was as it was as a little child, and he was clean. Oh no, you can see the very marks of repentance. And it says, and he returned to the man of God, he and all his company, and came and stood before him. And he said, watch what he says, behold, now I know. I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Paul again, in writing to the church of Corinth, he says, for after that in the wisdom of God the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. The message is so simple. Jesus' own words, come unto me all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The free church can't give you rest. The politicians of this land can't give you rest. You can look at the world news today, and there is trouble and anarchy in every stage. But Jesus says, I'll give you rest. And he does that. Over in John chapter 20. You have a perfect example of that. For there you find the disciples in a hideaway room, in fear of the Jews, because the body of Christ has disappeared. Oh, and Peter and John, they say he's arose, he's not there, we saw the tomb is empty. And all of a sudden, Jesus comes into the midst of the room. And what's the very first thing he says? In the midst of all of the fear, in the midst of all of the troubles, in the midst of all of the agonies to think the death's at hand, peace be unto you. This evening, in Londonderry Free Presbyterian Church, have you thoughts of peace? It can only be because you're in a right relationship with the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Or this evening will you come? I don't know what the state of heart and mind is with you this evening, but God knows, and you know God knows. Why don't you make it right this evening and come to him?